How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Eastern, Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays, 6 p.m. Eastern, with me, Andrew Zarian. Busy weekend of professional wrestling, obviously. I just finished Battle in the Valley. I just finished it. Elimination Chamber happened last night, followed by New Japan's Battle in the Valley. We got a new women's champion in Mercedes Moné. We also saw Roman Reigns defeat Sami Zayn in Montreal. We're going to spend a lot of time on that and everything else that's going on with that program, because a lot, I watched that show, and we're going to talk about it in our second segment, but I watched it in its entirety. I didn't want to like take a break from it. You know, I wanted to kind of get a pure feeling, because generally when I'm doing a show, when I'm watching a show, I'm generally watching it because I got to do a watch along or I got to do a show right after when I watch it in its entirety like that. I watched this whole thing in its entirety and I thought it was a good show. I liked it a lot. It was easy to watch. The chamber matches were fine. The Lesnar match was short and sweet. The Edge match, I very much enjoyed. I thought the crowd was fun for that. And the main event was hot. However, a lot of people are not happy with the result. And we're going to break that down. Listen, would I have wanted to see Sammy win and champion, you know, this amazing thing? Yeah, of course. But it wasn't in the cards. Also, AEW Dynamite, we're going to talk about that, a preview for that show. And what's Tony's announcement? I may have a couple ideas on what it could be. I've heard a couple rumors. We're going to talk about that also. I don't think it's what people think. I think a lot of people are assuming it's a big story here, and I don't think it's this groundbreaking story. But with Elimination Chamber, Battle in the Valley, AEW, and a whole lot more, we got a packed show here for everybody. Going to a quick break. Stay tuned here on Sports Byline, Wrestling Observer Live. We'll be right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live, Sunday edition here on Sports Byline. I watched a lot of wrestling the last 2 days. Not complaining, though. It was good wrestling. So when it's good, you want to enjoy it, right? We only complain when it's bad. Actually, that's not true. We complain regardless. Raw Women's Championship number one contendership match was first on the show. Asuka defeated Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez, Natty, Carmella, and Nikki Cross. Natalya got a big reaction in Canada. You know, they're in Montreal. They announced 17,000 plus in that building. And I got to tell you, it was jam-packed. But there were 17,000 is not the number. I mean, they did great. It was like 14, 15, maybe 16, but there weren't 17,000 in the building. Listen, man, look great. They took advantage of that big crowd. They went to these wide shots where you got to see, I mean, top row. The nosebleeds were packed for this. Montreal's always a great city for wrestling. It's been like that for forever. So I didn't expect anything less. You know, the story of this match was Liv hit a sunset bomb off the top of one of the pods on Raquel. It was clear. It was interesting that Asuka, you know, a lot of people were wondering who could it be, right? A lot of people were wondering who could possibly win this. I think the story is really, for me, was Asuka for sure. It was clear to me in that match, you know, they put some emphasis, but Liv Morgan had a chance. A lot of people thought Liv could take it. A lot of people thought Natty could take it. But now we know what that main event's going to be for the Raw Women's Championship. Asuka and Carmella were the last two, with Asuka getting the submission. I thought it was a fun match. It went about almost 20 minutes, 19:25 I have here, and followed by Bobby Lashley defeating Brock Lesnar. Now, I didn't hate this. They went 4 minutes and 38 seconds. I have to tell you, MG did our notes. I don't know if he could hear me or not, or you could talk. Try talking. Can you talk? Nope, no talking. Okay. He's having some issues. He can't talk. He put this in the notes, and I was talking to him about this. And man, like watching it, it felt a lot longer. I didn't dislike it. But it is a big, you know, beefcake match. Two guys are humongous. I was watching with my dad, and my dad's like, how old are these guys? I'm like, they're in their mid to late 40s. And he goes, how big are they? He couldn't believe it. But I think this is going to continue it. Brock lost via a low blow on Lashley when he couldn't get out of the hurt lock. So it was a DQ finish. And after that, Brock Lesnar essentially killed everybody. F5 the ref through a table. F5 Lashley. It was a whole thing. Also to note, on SmackDown, Bray Wyatt challenged the winner of this match. Isn't that interesting? So what are we going to get now? We're going to get a Bray Wyatt-Brock Lesnar spooky scary match? Or we're going to get a Bobby Lashley... A Bobby Lashley-Bray Wyatt spooky scary match. I don't know. We'll find out. Following this, we got Edge and Beth Phoenix defeating Judgment Day. Now, this was cool, right? Edge, I think it was like, what, 17 years he hasn't wrestled in Montreal. That audience loved him. They went berserk for him. I listen, man, you know, he's still going. People were into Beth. I'm curious if they're going to continue this story between Beth Phoenix and Rhea Ripley. You know, if for Rhea winning that title and then having Beth as a challenger maybe at SummerSlam or for the next show, I could see them doing that. I kind of don't want them to end this, and I think it's a good opponent for Rhea to beat with, you know, legitimacy and a name that goes along with it and popularity. I think this is a positive if, you know, Rhea and her face each other and they win. Edge and Beth Phoenix defeated Judgment Day, which was Finn and Rhea with Dominic on the outside in 1347. This was a cool match. I liked it. But again, where do you go from here? And where does Edge go from here? Edge is challenging, by the way. He's accepting Austin Theory's United States Open Challenge on Monday. So you're going to have Edge and Austin Theory in a match on Monday Night Raw. All right, cool. I'll take that. They're in Ottawa, I believe. United States Championship Elimination Chamber match. Austin Theory defeated Seth Rollins, Johnny Gargano, Damian Priest, Bronson Reed, and Montez Ford. They went 31-59. They gave this some time. You know, there were one guy stood out tremendously to me, and that was Montez Ford. Montez looked great in this match. You could tell that they're getting ready for that singles push that we've spoken about and we've heard about. I think a lot of people want to see a singles push. Good timing for this. Very good timing. You had a lot of great guys in this match. I was very impressed with Montez Ford. Bronson Reed looked great. As you know, I'm a fan of Montez Ford. Damian Priest looked really good. Was Johnny Gargano the odd man out here? I mean, he did great in the match, but if you're looking at this, you know, as far as, you know, programs for the future and who they're building behind, obviously Damian Priest stands out. Montez Ford, for sure. Very much liked it. Montez scaled the cage. He skinned the cat and then dropped on the rest of the guys. That was a big spot. It was the... Who did that spot? It was the mini, right? Who was the manager? What was his name? God... MG, someone in the chat room could post it. I can't remember. El Toro? Wasn't at the spot? On the Ascension, they caught him and they threw him? This was a lot better looking, what Montez did. Much better. Johnny Gargano hit a reverse hurricanrana on Rollins off the top of the pod while Montez was being attended to. The cage was opened, and here's what happened. Oh, Kalisto did it too. Yeah, Kalisto also did that spot. So we've had it done three times already. So Montez is being taken out of the ring. So the cage is obviously open to get him out. And Logan Paul runs in and attacks Seth Rollins. Hits him with a buckshot lariat. All right. Austin Theory wins. So you've set that program up between Logan Paul and Seth Rollins. Listen, I'm not against that match. I think that's going to be a fantastic match at WrestleMania. I get it. I get why people don't want to see it, but I also get why they're doing it. They've seen, you know, they have the metrics here, and they've seen the crossover coming from Logan Paul. They're happy with it, obviously. You don't really get a, and I'm using hand quotes here for people listening, a celebrity that has that skill set. I mean, it's actually very impressive how good this guy is. And everybody that I speak to that, you know, he's either in the business or was in the business or whatever, they're all super shocked how good he is. Now, is this guy doing, you know, hours and hours in the gym? Probably not. He's probably practicing mostly all the spots. But even to be able to execute it at that level, very impressive. Very, very impressive. You also had the main event, the Undisputed World Champion, Roman Reigns, defeating Sami Zayn in 32-10. We're going to start talking about this, and I'm going to continue it after the break. I very much like this match. The emotion of this match was tremendous. The crowd gave it a much-needed assist. You know, the crowd was the story here. Morrison also did that spot. I'm being corrected, guys. Chat room, always right. The YouTube chat is telling me. John Morrison did the same spot that Ford did. Yes, you're absolutely right. Totally forgot about that. From top to bottom, this whole entire main event was based on emotion. Was based on how you felt. The closer we got to this moment, the more people thought Sami Zayn has a chance. Then more people thought, no, not only does he have a chance, this is what they should do. Sami Zayn should beat Roman Reigns in Montreal and win that title. But the reality is that wasn't going to happen. So I get it. I get the disappointment, guys, and we're going to break that all down for you when we come back. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live, Sunday edition, discussing Elimination Chamber from last night. You know, for a B pay-per-view, man, this was great. It's the most watched Elimination Chamber of all time. I should be able to get that number tomorrow. I'm going to, it didn't reach out over the weekend, but tomorrow I'll reach out to the same person that gave me the number regarding Royal Rumble. We already know WWE saying that it's the most successful Elimination Chamber. Great gate. Great viewership numbers. I mean, they're in a hot streak right now. But let's talk about this main event here. Roman comes out first. Champion came out first. Huge boos. I mean, grown men doing the thumbs down, booing as loud as they can. It was awesome to see, you know, a heel getting booed. Followed by Sami coming out to a humongous response. You know, you could see he was very emotional. His whole family was in the front. This is a huge moment for him. The biggest moment of his career. And this is a guy, I mean, if you know the story of Sami Zayn in professional wrestling, this is such a great milestone to have. For many, I mean, this is the pinnacle. You know, you're in your hometown. You're in a packed, jam-packed, historic location to watch wrestling against one of the greatest modern world champions of all time, probably the greatest of all time in the modern era. I don't think anybody's been this dominant with a push, you know, from the beginning of his career in WWE. But, I mean, especially since the pandemic, this guy has transformed his entire character and his persona, and he's really solidified himself as a top guy in the history of professional wrestling, whether or not you like Roman Reigns or not. Listen, I was not a fan of the previous version of Roman. I wasn't. And a lot of you weren't either. So a lot of you were, but a lot of you weren't either. And it was very polarizing. He had the John Cena effect happening. Half the people there were cool. The kids liked to see him. The women were into him. Some of the guys were into him. But the hardcore fan was rejecting him because they felt that he was getting pushed onto us. Well, a little tweak goes far. And this guy has gone far. Two titles. We know he's facing Cody at WrestleMania. We know that that's in the cards. So what happens now? The Sami Zayn situation was only supposed to be a couple weeks. Turned into a long storyline. They did an unbelievable job with this story. But now we're here. We're at the climax. What happens? Well, what happened was Roman beats Sammy in Montreal. The ending, you know, could be up for debate. I enjoyed this match. I like this match. This is my opinion. The right person won for storytelling reasons. The fan in me would want Sammy to win. But if we're looking at it from a business perspective, there's a number of reasons why they chose to do what they did. And unfortunately, it has nothing to do with the fans' wants. Is Sammy the guy? Listen, man, in my opinion, again, in my opinion, is it a guy? Yes, at a different time. Not a month before WrestleMania or 6 weeks before WrestleMania when you already have that plan for Cody and Roman. You've built to this. And you have the next couple months planned out. So now you take the title, let's say hypothetically, off of Roman, you put it on Sammy. What happens to that WrestleMania match? What happens to Cody's big push? They need to create top babyfaces. They've already done it with Sammy. Sammy is solidified as a beloved babyface like a Bryan Danielson. But Cody has yet to be solidified as that. You know, it's still new. We've seen Cody get booed before for being a babyface. They had to be so careful here. And unfortunately, Sammy got really hot in a time that they can't pivot. You know, and I saw the argument. Raj Geary from Wrestling Inc., formerly of Wrestling Inc., currently of Wrestling, I don't know. I got to ask Raj what he's been doing. Consulting? I don't know. Raj put it out and somebody, you know, there was a comparison. Somebody gave a great comparison to, look how many times they flipped the title between Mankind and The Rock before Austin got the match at WrestleMania with Dwayne, right? But couple issues here. One, you had not solidified The Rock as an unbeatable force like you did with Roman. Roman's been unbeatable. 900 days plus. You haven't told the story that this guy has a streak. You haven't told the story that he can't be beat. The Rock was not the most, at that point, was not the most, you know, one of the top world champions of that time frame. He was still new. You were still creating him. You also didn't have a babyface that has a possible issue getting over if he's not facing Roman Reigns. There's a number of variables here, and not everything is cut and dry. You can't compare the two. Listen, I would have loved for that, for what a celebration that would have been. I would have loved it. But you have a number of things going against you. Number one is that streak that he has. You know what somebody's brought up to me? I don't know if my producer's audio is working or not, but let's see. Is your audio working? Uh-uh. No, it's not. Again, there we go. Somebody brought up, this is hysterical, and again, I don't agree with this, but it was a funny comparison, right? You remember when Ryback got hot for that short period and he faced CM Punk? And people were saying, well, you know, Ryback should win the title, but they would have never done that because there was a streak happening. Not an even comparison. But again, sometimes there's other variables that come into. The other thing, unfortunately, okay, when you're marketing WrestleMania, what's a better, just a better billboard? Is it Roman Reigns and Cody? Or is it Sammy and Cody? Listen, I get it. I get it, and I wanted it. But I could also understand the business reasoning behind it. I don't think Sammy's going to get hurt by this. I think Sammy's going to flourish. I think they'll eventually turn this into a tag match of sorts. If they go down that way, he could still win something. But you could also come back to Sammy and Cody and Roman. The other suggestion here, and I'm seeing a ton in the chat room, and I appreciate all the feedback. Why isn't it a three-way? Well, if you do a three-way, Cody's getting booed out that building. I love Cody, but I couldn't cheer for him if I'm there. I'm cheering for Sammy. I want Sammy to get that WrestleMania moment in that situation. And if you don't deliver that, you're going to be disappointed. And if you do deliver that, what did you just do to Cody? Nothing good, nothing positive. The only one looking good in that three-way is probably Roman. because you'll probably figure out a way that you don't beat him. The other option is splitting the belts, right? I would have loved that if that was a month ago or they had done something with that. Roman doing double duty, losing each title at WrestleMania, is that a possibility? Yeah, but, you know, you're hurting one of those guys that wins it. Either Sammy winning won't mean as much because Cody also got the title. Or actually, the most, to be honest, is that Cody's not going to mean as much because everybody's championing Sammy. I they're in a booking. They booked themselves into a corner. And that's my only issue here with this. I mean, everybody worked super hard. That match I very much liked. Yeah, wacky finish. You know, they had to get out of it, run in after run. You know, they did all this wacky stuff, but Sammy still looked good. I don't know what that next match is. And I'm hoping that Sammy gets more opportunities in the top tier of that roster. He's very well deserved. But if you remove him from that bloodline story, how much does it matter? And I think they're looking at it that way. Their goal is that Cody needs to be made as a top babyface in that company. You don't get an opportunity for Captain America to become your world champion too often and people are going to like it. And we're at that position right now. You know, sometimes this happens. Not often, but sometimes it happens. Sometimes you can pivot. Other times you can't. I think in Danielson's situation with when he had the three-way with Randy and Batista, nobody wanted to see either one of those two win. They all wanted Danielson to win. So yeah, the smart answer was let the people go home happy. Nobody's going to suffer from this. Batista's going to go away and Randy doesn't care. These are all those little parts, right? You gotta. I always try to think a couple steps forward in my wants. As a fan, yeah, man, disappointing. You love the guy, you want to see him do good, but you know, as someone that's covering this and someone that understands the business aspect of things, not saying wrestling, just in general, I'm a marketer by nature. I get why they did what they did. But now the question is, where do you go and how do you do it after this? How are you going to pivot now to Cody and remove Sammy out of the equation for Roman, still keep Sammy hot, and have people not reject Cody? So far, they've done a decent job. Will that continue? I don't know. I can't tell you. I hope it works well. I hope they can pull it off. Because Roman has really become one of the greatest in that company's history at this point. When we come back, I want to talk about New Japan and a little bit more. Maybe I'll touch on this tiny bit. I'm seeing a lot of comments coming, so I'll touch on your comments a little bit before we go into New Japan. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live, Sunday edition here. I look forward to this each and every week. I absolutely love doing the show. It's a lot of fun for me. It's like therapy, guys. We all hang out. We talk about wrestling a little bit. You know, but I have a question for all of you. And give me your feedback. You could tweet me, at Andrew Zarian on Twitter, or you could put it in the chat room right now. Do you think the casual viewer, the person that's not listening to this program, the person that is not in our chat room, person that's not seeking this out, do you think they care that Cody is or is not in the main event? Do you think they want Sammy to be in the main event? What do you think their opinion was of this? I would love to know. Do you think they care? The casuals love Sammy. My son was going nuts for Sammy. He's going nuts for him. But he also likes Cody. So what does that say? Let's go into this New Japan show. MG, our producer, are you there?
I am.
Oh, look at that. You're here. So I know that you watched this show and you were very into the show.
Yeah.
I watched it this morning for obvious reasons. Obviously, I was watching the other show, but I watched this morning. I thought it was a fun show. Couple issues. The audio was a little wacky. They had a late start. I thought it was a very well put together show. Some stuff I would have kept out because it was a long show, but overall it was good. What did you think?
The pre-show didn't have any announcers for whatever reason. I think they were having audio issues, and that's what the holdup was. And then as far as the matches, I thought they all were really good, well wrestled. My favorite, I had a couple of them. The Eddie Kingston Jay White match.
Yeah,
that was just an ugly, brutal, just pure beat the heck out of each other match. I thought that was really good. I love the story they told there with him leaving, with that stipulation that was set up on this show, by the way.
Yes, it was. It was set up on Wrestling Observer Live with Brian, where our other producer, John, was messaging me throughout this. And, you know, John, he's here, and I absolutely love John. John is messaging me. He's like, hey, dude, he's like, what the hell's going on the show? I'm like, you tell me, you're producing it. He's like, I think I lost control of the show. I was like, I think you did, which led to a great, a very good match between Eddie Kingston and Jay White. Let's go down this card. Maybe you'll assist me with this. Kushida, Kevin Knight, and the DKC and Volador Jr. defeated Mascara Dorada, Josh Alexander, Adrian Quest, and Rocky Romero, friend of the show, Rocky. Strong open weight championship. Kenta defeated Fred Rosser. I thought this was a good match. Kenta looked good. Fred Rosser looked good. Juice Robinson interfered by knocking out Rosser with a roll of quarters. Okay.
And that was what the stipulation led to, the beginning of the Kingston Jay White match, where Bullet Club was not allowed ringside.
Yeah.
Because that happened.
Because of that. So the story continues. Strong openweight tag team championship. Motor City Machine Guns, Alex Shelley, and Chris Sabin defeated the West Coast Wrecking Crew to retain the titles in a loser leaves New Japan match. Eddie Kingston defeated Jay White. Now, this was a great match, top to bottom. Jay is leaving. We know that. Where he's going, we don't know. A lot of people think AEW. A lot of people think WWE. I know that WWE has interest in Jay White. They have had it for a long time. He's young. He's in Florida. He's a tremendous worker. And he's only going to get better. But, you know, I don't know if you guys saw that. There was a statement that came out, and I forgot who published this, but the report was that, yeah, they're interested in Jay, but there's another much larger free agent available this year. Who the heck are they talking about? We'll find out. So prior to the match, the Bullet Club was banned from the ringside. This was a brutal match. Kingston won by hitting two Northern Light drivers. After the match, now this is the angle, Jay White was getting a thank you Jay chant by the audience. White's longtime rival, David Finley, slid in the ring and drilled him with a shillelagh, knocking him out. And that's how he exits the promotion. In very Bullet Club style, right? Essentially, all of them have been laid out before they left. Filthy rules
kind
match.
Of tradition.
It is a tradition. Our very own Tom Lawler defeated Homicide. This was a hardcore match with no ropes. I miss the denim short shorts on Tom, though.
Yeah.
Tom needs to bring back the denim short shorts. Tom, listen, I know he's listening. Bring back the denim short shorts. I thought this was cool. It was cool to see.
It was. I mean, everything they could have done, they did. They got all the plunder out for this one. It was fun, though. Except maybe thumbtacks. I don't remember that.
New Japan World TV Championship. Zack Sabre Jr. defeated Clark Connors to retain the title. This was a good match, too. Zack Sabre's putting on some size, which I like. So here's the two main events. IWGP Women's Championship. Mercedes Moné defeated Kairi to win the title. I think this was the best match on the card. Do you?
Yeah, I do. I think it was the best work. I know the crowd was into it. Because I don't know if you noticed it, but I noticed the crowd wasn't coming through very well for most of the show.
No, it wasn't. But I know people that were at the show. I know a lot of people at the show, and I was asking them, and they said, no, it was loud in here. Here's the other thing. Yeah. You know, talking about the crowd, you know who was there? Bailey was there.
Yep. Naomi was there.
CM Punk was there in the crowd. Our very own Dave Meltzer was there.
With Garrett, right?
With Garrett. Dave's arms look great, by the way. I don't know what that guy does. I was asking him, I'm like, what's your trick? He looked at me and he's like, I just lift weights all day. All day long. He just has dumbbells in his hand all day. That's how he writes the Observer. He He just pounds on the keyboard with the dumbbells. It's unbelievable, that man, the physique he's in. It's actually, guys, if you've never met Dave, you know, the photos do no justice. He's jacked to the gills. It's unbelievable. Love it. But Mercedes looked great in this match. Kyrie looked great in this match. This is really cool. This was very, very cool to see Mercedes in this. She's in her element. You know, she loves professional wrestling. She studies tapes. She was training with Hoovy for a little bit. You know, changing her moveset. You know, this is someone that really cares about her presentation and cares about her positioning and cares about the match quality, and it showed here. And this was a very good showing for her.
Her finisher really, really looked better on this time out.
Yeah, because it wasn't
camera
really
angle,
her fault.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the camera angle was a little off on it, but yeah, it got the point across. It was definitely a solid finisher. It was a great match.
Yeah, it was a very good match.
And I'll go as far as to say that if it weren't for the next match, who was in the next match, it could have main evented. But I don't think we would have put Okada in Tanahashi behind those two, but anybody else, you could make an argument for it.
Yeah, I think you could have made an argument, but you know, unfortunately for that match, IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, Okada versus Tanahashi, Okada retained. I don't think people thought that Tanahashi was beating him, but what a treat that is for that crowd to see those two in a match. You know, they've had some legendary matches over the years, and the people got to witness another one. Very good match. After the match, Okada in English said that he wants to reform his tag team with Tanahashi. Then Mercedes Moné came back out and said she wants to tag with Okada. Then the two champions celebrated in the ring. Very cool shot. Very much enjoy this. Now what does Mercedes do? Where does she go after this? You know, now she has that title.
I think Dave said she has two dates scheduled in April, one at Sumo Hall on that show, the New Japan show, and then right after that, the Stardom. She's going to do one of the big Stardom shows.
Yeah, but then what?
In April. I don't know. Maybe I don't know.
You know,
I'm
is
sure
this
going to do more.
Is this going to be the free agent that they're looking to sign? You know?
Could be.
It could be, you know, you also bring her in to put that title over and get some new eyeballs and bring, you know, subscribers to New Japan World. And, you know, New Japan is in a revamping stage right now. They had three terrible years. They had three really, really bad years. They lost the Bucks. They lost Omega. Things slowed down. They were still hanging on. Injuries happened. The pandemic happened. And, you know, Japan is still not fully at 100%. With the way that you engage with a live audience. So they have taken many, many steps back, and this was a shot in the arm for them. And a very positive move.
Mm-hmm. So, not to start any rumors, but could Revolution is 2 weeks away. Could she somehow show up, involved in that one angle?
She could, or she could go back to WWE after this program, and this was a nice little excursion for her to go to New Japan and get it out of her system. Some people could see it that way. Not saying that that's what I've heard or anything close to that, but, you know, you never know. It's all very interesting.
She got the biggest pop. She got the biggest pop on that card, you know, for whatever reason. And they commentary, I thought Ian Riccaboni was really good putting over the entire card and saying, hey, she sold this out. She was, her match was the only one on this card when it was sold out. Given it's only like a 2,500 seat arena, but you know,
we're running out of time in this segment. But Tony has a big announcement next week on Rampage, correct?
Yes.
A lot of speculation here. A lot of people thinking this is a Ring of Honor deal, or it's another TV show deal, or it's a contract story. It's a acquisition story. I don't think it's gonna be as huge as people think it is. Because weren't they working on a reality show? Isn't that the story, that they're working on a reality show that should be being announced soon?
It was, yes.
It was, right?
I think that might be it.
I'm leaning towards that. If I were to lean towards anything right now, and that's not my one side because my hip's hurting. I am leaning, if you're watching me. Do you see? I'm like slowly sinking here on this video. I would say that that would be the closest thing. There we go. I'm getting heckled by all the producers now. I would say that there's probably another announcement coming soon that would be a little bit more interesting to people. Listen, man, if the reality show may be tremendous. I'm not disparaging it whatsoever, but I don't think people should have their expectations up that this is a Ring of Honor TV deal or something, you know, huge, or CM Punk's coming back or whatever. I wouldn't say it's any of those. But what the heck do I know? I just talk about this on Sundays and Tuesdays and Fridays and whenever I'm a guest on a show somewhere. So like four times a week. What do I know? He has a very important announcement, and also they announced Jon Moxley, Evil Uno, All Atlantic Championship, Orange Cassidy, Wheeler Yuta, Acclaimed, Lee Moriarty, and Big Bill, Saraya Sky Blue, Christian Cage, interview with Tony Schiavone, and a Danielson promo. You know, I did not like last week's show. I'll tell you that. I wasn't crazy about last week's show, and a lot of other people weren't because the number was down. It wasn't a bad show. I wouldn't say it was terrible, but this, if I always say I could count how many bad shows AEW has had in its lifespan, which is a great thing to be able to do. I can't tell you how many bad Raws I've seen this year. Far more than bad AEW shows that you know, in its 3-4 year time frame. However, this was not a great show. We'll find out. I don't know. We'll find out what happens this Wednesday. But building up to Revolution here. Revolution has a lot of tickets available still. Almost 3,000 tickets are still available. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live, final segment of the show. Before we went to break, we were talking about the build to Revolution. According to WrestleTix on Twitter, AEW Revolution is in danger of not selling out, as they have nearly 3,000 tickets still available for the show. I mean, they did add more ticket availability recently. This is as of 5 days ago, so I'm sure the number has shifted. This is not a hard number. However, as of 5 days ago, they had 2,957 tickets still available. The current capacity is 9,826. And tickets distributed is 68.69. Listen, you know, it's not the hottest period for the company. Is it a bad period? No, but it's not the hottest. And I think they're very much aware of this, and they're working at a couple things. I expect some changes to happen in the future, immediate future. But, you know, 3,000 people for a pay-per-view, this would be probably the most lacklustered as far as build goes. You have not done a good job at convincing people that Danielson could beat MJF or should beat MJF. It's going to be a 60-minute Ironman match. You also have the Guns and the Acclaim versus two other teams that we don't know yet. Samoa Joe Wardlow in a Texas Death Match between Hangman Page and Jon Moxley. We've seen that one match. We've seen the other match. We don't know what the other one is. And you have not told people that this may be a championship change moment. I understand why someone wouldn't go. But also, you have to remember, AEW really depended on destination shows. I you know how many people I know that traveled for AEW pay-per-views over the last 3 years? I think that's kind of winding down now, right? Those guys are kind of, they did it, they traveled for all the shows, and now maybe they're just being selective. That also plays a part in this. I'm sure they'll have maybe 2,000 tickets available or 1,000 tickets available by the time, but it's not a sellout. Interesting stuff here, guys. We're going to be back next week with another live edition of Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. You can follow me on Twitter at Andrew Zarian. Submit your questions throughout the week, and we'll start talking about it. All right, guys, that's it. We'll see y'all next time. Take care.